Well, we're here on the cusp of a new sermon series, and I'm excited about this. When I was a kid, my mom, hi mom, would, this is a good story. She would play a game with my sister and I called the association game. You remember this? So I say a word, and you say the word back that you immediately think of when I say that word. Now, I'm going to say a word. I want you to keep your response in your head, but think of the images, the words, the feelings that enter into your mind as I say this word. You ready? The word is theology. Theology. I said to keep them in your head, Willa. Some of us might have positive associations with that word, like learning or spiritual growth or, you know, fascinating study of God. Some of you might have negative associations. Some of you might not even really know what's meant by that word, theology, and I'll tell you in this sermon. I'm going to, one more word I'm going to give you here. The word is doctrine. Does that make your heart swell with emotion? Does it thrill your soul? You know, those words, theology and doctrine, for many people, conjure up images of dusty old books and, you know, European men with funny hats and oil paintings and cold cathedrals, you know, irrelevant discussions of, like, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, that kind of stuff. So you might think theology is just, at worst, it leads us away from God, or it's boring, or it's irrelevant, and at best, maybe interesting, but not important. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that theology and doctrine are precious things. They're good things. They're worthwhile things. And theology simply means, for our purposes, the things you believe about God, right? The things you believe about God. And doctrine simply means teaching. It comes from a Greek word that means teaching. So the doctrines you hold are those teachings which you think are sound enough to hold on to and build your life upon, right? Now, whether or not you know it, you are filled with theology and doctrine already. If I had some x-ray glasses that could see what you believe, I would see a lot of theology, a lot of different doctrine. For example, if you make the simple statement, I believe in God, right? That statement has layer upon layer of theology. Which God do you believe in? Why do you believe in him? Was there a time when you began to believe in him? And then, what is this God like? What does he do? And then believe, what does believe mean? Does it mean to mentally assent to something? Does it mean you expect this God to do certain things for you? Does it mean that you're, is it a feeling in your heart, as a thought in your head? There's so many theological questions, even in that simple statement. And all of you have answers to those questions, whether you know it or not. You live by those answers. These are not abstract issues. In 2016, well, let me back up. The question is not whether you have theology. It's how true is your theology? Does what you believe line up with the Bible? So in 2016, Lifeway Research conducted a study of self-described evangelical Christians, those Christians who pray often and attend church often and believe in, you know, the authority of Scripture. And what they discovered in this study was that many Christians are confused about the most basic Christian doctrines. For example, 39% of evangelical Christians checked yes to the statement, my good deeds help me earn my place in heaven. 56% agreed with the statement, the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal being. And 78% of Christians said that Jesus, quote, Jesus was the first and greatest being created by God. Now, all of these are theological heresies that the church has condemned for thousands of years. And still, it's easy to believe them. So these are not abstract issues. What we believe about God, about human nature, about sin, salvation, the person of Christ, all these things have massive implications on our lives. Not only how we live our lives now, but where our lives are headed. So today we are beginning a sermon series called Doctrines for Life. Doctrines for Life. It's a journey over the landscape of Christian theology. I hope you took one of these yellow papers on your way in. This is our church's statement of faith. And this is the outline for our sermon series. So keep this in your Bible or snap a picture of it on your phone, but this statement of faith sets forth the doctrines that we hold to be essential, core doctrines of our faith. And each week, as we go through this, we will drill into one of these key doctrines and discover, you know, where it is in the Bible, why we believe it, and what difference it makes in our lives. And today, all I want to do is prime the pump and whet your appetite for this series. And I'm going to break this sermon into two parts. There's two parts of the phrase, doctrines for life. So first, what are doctrines? And then, what does it mean that they're for life? Well, the word doctrine, as I mentioned, simply means teaching. And that sounds like a churchy word, but the reality is everybody has doctrines that they live by. There's many doctrines floating around in the world. And we're all being indoctrinated by one set of teachings or another. As I've driven around lately in the last few months, I've noticed signs in people's yards that say something like, in this house, we believe, colon, Black Lives Matter, women's rights are human rights, science is real, love is love, etc. It's sort of a secular manifesto of secular doctrines. And there's much truth in some of those statements, but still, people are desperate to stake their life on some solid truth, something sound. Now, as Christians, of course, we stake everything on God's Word, what He has revealed about Himself and about the most important things in life in Scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote to his protege Timothy, a pastor, telling him the importance of teaching sound doctrine. And here's what he said, 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So there's a lot on the line here. Now, interestingly, life and doctrine are related. But he's saying, essentially, make sure what you teach is true to what God has said in His Word, right? Because as much as it is, there's where you find salvation, is in what God has revealed. So look at this statement of faith on the sheet of paper again. There are a few things I want to point out to you about our doctrine in general. First, the fact that this all fits on one piece of paper is saying something, okay? Some church traditions have very long confessions of faith that they live by or that they ascribe to. One of our distinctives as Baptists is that we believe in a relatively small core set of doctrines that are non-negotiables. But still, you might ask, so why these eight things? Why not others? Or why not more? Why don't we just say, while we're at it, the whole Bible is our doctrine? Why do we even need this? Right? These are just man-made bullet points. Well, here's why. The Bible is a complex book with thousands of characters and many, many stories spanning thousands of years. There's different genres of literature, poetry, narrative, epic story, prayers, letters, biography. How are we to make sense of all this and figure out what is really the most important stuff to believe here? What is essential to the gospel? And I want to use an analogy here of a jigsaw puzzle. Does anyone like to do puzzles? You know, when you start a massive puzzle, you start with the border. You start with the edge pieces. You identify the edge pieces, you put them together so you can see what you're working with. And then you can fill in the rest of the puzzle. These doctrines are the edge pieces of our faith. And that means two things. First of all, these represent the boundaries of historic Christianity. So anything outside these doctrines, for the most part, would not be Christianity, would not be true to the Bible. By the same token, if you have these in place in your mind and in your heart, it's much easier to make sense of everything else. These are what you build your theology on. These are the essential foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. So if you're newer to the faith or to church, this is a great place to start in learning basic theology. And all of us can use a refresher of these things and can be reminded, okay, this is the truth that we believe. Not this over here, but this. This is the border. This is the foundation. So that's the first thing. Our statement of faith is the core doctrines of Christianity. Now with that, the second thing I'll point out is that obviously our doctrines come from Scripture and Scripture alone. Look at the first sentence here. We accept the Scriptures as our only authority in matters of faith and practice, and our understanding of the Bible leads us inexorably to believe. That means we can't not believe these things when we read the Bible. So expect this series to cover a lot of Scripture, and I'm excited about this to fly back and forth over the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation and touch down in different places to see where we get these amazing truths about God and about the world. But here's something else to keep in mind, and that is we would be foolish to pretend that we are the first people to read the Bible and to come up with these things. Our church did not write this list ourselves. In fact, for generations upon generations, Christians have been studying and praying and seeking to understand the clearest way to represent the truths of the Bible in this form. And so we're not coming at this alone. We're coming at it with those who have gone before us, with our brothers and sisters around the world still today. Every single doctrine on this list has been the subject of heated debate, sometimes people have lost their lives defending these doctrines, or rather than renege them. People have given so much to help us get where we are today with Christian theology. So we're not coming at this with fresh eyes. And if I teach anything that is new or that is no one's ever thought of before, then that's a bad sign, because that's probably a heresy. God's truth is time-tested, and you know, our study of these doctrines will take us into Christian history and let us see some of the heroes of the faith and some of the notorious people in history that we can learn from their mistakes. So that's where we're at. Now, I'm aware that some of you might still be a little bit gun-shy about that word, doctrine or theology, or feel like, really, why does this matter? What's the point of learning these ideas? And I want to share an illustration from C.S. Lewis in his book, Mere Christianity. He tells about giving a talk one day at a meeting of RAF pilots, that's Royal Air Force. Lewis was a British man from the 20th century, a kind of a giant in the Christian world, thinking world. And after this talk to these old pilots, one particularly hard-bitten old man stands up and says, "I'm a religious man, but I don't need your books and your theology to get in touch with God. You see, I've felt him out there in the desert, alone, that tremendous mystery. And that's why I don't believe in your dogmas or your neat little formulas about God. Because to anyone who's met the real thing, theology just seems pedantic. It seems like a waste of time." I hear people tell me versions of that speech all the time. "I don't need church. I don't need to read what other people have written about God. I need to experience him for myself. You know, I feel closer to God out in nature than I do reading the Bible or studying doctrine of all things." Here's what C.S. Lewis said or responded to that man. I'll paraphrase. He said, "Theology is like a map. And yes, on the one hand, that piece of paper which represents something real is nowhere near as real as that thing. Just as doctrines are not God, doctrines are like a map. And hundreds of people have worked and have journeyed to come up with the wisdom that is on that map, the truth that is on that map. And so that's not something you could come up with by yourself. And besides that, if you want to go anywhere in the Christian life, you need a map. You need a map. You can stand on the shore and admire the ocean, but if you want to actually go somewhere in your faith, you got to have a map. And so theology is meant to take us somewhere. It's meant to change our lives. And that brings us to the second point, which is these are doctrines for life. For life. So to use that map analogy, where should this take us? What's the goal of this sermon series, practically speaking? Well, doctrine, theology, is an essential part of your discipleship, of learning to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so as we learn the truth about God, that's part of the process of renewing our mind and displacing any false or incomplete ideas we have. But don't think for a second that theology is just a mental exercise in growing your knowledge, because it's far more than that. You know, the book of James says, even the demons believe in God, right? The demons perhaps have perfect theology. A lot of good it does them. It's not how much we know, it's what we put into practice. And the way we live out what we are learning. So let me give you a few examples of what I hope will happen. If we come to the place where we are sold out in our belief that the Bible is reliable and authoritative and inspired, we will approach the Bible differently. If you understand the doctrine of the Trinity, I mean, of all things, that seems like the most irrelevant Christian doctrine, but it's not. If you understand the doctrine of the Trinity, your view of God's love will be supercharged. If you can behold the truth that God is your Father and get that picture of God in your minds, you can heal from emotional wounds that you've been dealt, perhaps by your own father in life. If you perceive the doctrine of justification in all its glory, the idea that we can be fully made right with God on the basis of Jesus on the cross and not our own effort, you are set free from performance, from the hamster wheel of trying to please God for your salvation. If you believe in the doctrine of Jesus' second coming, if that is really on the horizon in your mind, you're going to live differently now. You see, all of these things transform our lives. They're transformational truths. And if we're doing it right, studying doctrine should make us worship. We should be singing our theology in worship on Sundays and through the week. It should energize our relationship with God. The truth is always meant to do that. Jesus said the truth will set you free. David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 35, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." Delight. What could be more delightful than unpacking the truth of who God is in all his majesty and goodness and saving power? It'll be transformational. So I want to invite you on this journey together. And I want to invite you to approach with humility, because all of us have things to learn, no matter how educated in theology we are. I want to invite you to have courage to take a good hard look at things you already believe about God and test them against the truth of Scripture. And to allow your own beliefs to be reordered or changed if necessary. And I want you to use your mind in this series, and then to let what you learn in your mind filter into your heart and change the way you live. So that's that's the bulk of my message this morning. There are a few ways you can go deeper with what we'll hear on Sundays. First, on Tuesday or Wednesday, I will send out a message that has some additional resources for exploring the doctrine we've looked at on the Sunday before. Perhaps a short video to watch, or a song to listen to, or an article to read. So I commend that to you. Take some time, even if it's, you know, not watching TV one night a week, and just digging into that doctrine more deeply. Secondly, I want to invite you to read this book with me during this series. This will take us until about March, and that's plenty of time to read this. This is a classic book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer, just a treasure of a man, a theologian, teacher, pastor. He passed away last August, late 90s, and this book has just shaped so many people in their theology, and you'll get so much more out of this for having listened to the sermons, and more out of the sermons for having read this. So you can get this on Amazon for like $3 used. I challenge you to read this book together this year. Well, as I close, I just have one more illustration about what's at stake here, why this matters, why our theology matters. When I was 11, my mom and dad and sister and I went to the Majestic 10 Theater in Williston. We took the big trip to Williston to see the new blockbuster Apollo 13. That movie, if you haven't seen it, tells the true story of the third mission to the moon, which never made it to the moon because they had some technical malfunctions. An oxygen tank on their ship exploded, leaving them with a rapidly diminishing oxygen supply and a lot of their instruments damaged. And so they had to try to make it back to Earth in this predicament. the most nail-biting scene in this film that I remember is when they're finally reapproaching Earth after having slingshotted themselves around the moon. They're reapproaching Earth, and they have one shot to drop into orbit the right way. If their angle is too steep, they will be too fast, and they'll burn up in the atmosphere. If their angle is too shallow, they will skip off the atmosphere and be flung out into space. They have one shot to do this. And of course, their instruments don't work, so they're on the radio with mission control. One guy is like looking at his wristwatch, counting off seconds as he measures the horizon across the window. We have one shot, the life God has given us, to align our lives with the truth of God's word, to set the course of our life by the mission control of God's word. Now, I don't want to leave you with the impression that we need perfect theology to be saved. Far from it. But the goal of theology is salvation. It's to know the truth, to believe the truth, to be changed by the truth, and to know God in all his fullness. Paul says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers." So these doctrines are the path of life for us. They're the map that leads us home to God. So I want to invite you to unroll this map with me and go on this journey together. Amen.